We have a glorious psalm this morning, and it is got a little bit of a number of things in it that are really current, and then it has typically the history in it as well. And one of the things it has in it is restore us, restore us. And in verse 6 it says, will you not revive us again? And I know Max and others in here pray for revival all the time, and I have a little trouble with revival. I think it's great. But I think revival for the emphasis on the experience doesn't get you anywhere. Pastor Chuck used to say experiences are great, but they never increase your faith. The only thing that increases your faith is the Word of God. And I think Asbury is great in a way, but to me, it's too much individual performance. And maybe that's okay, except when the rest of the country responds to it as a sideshow. Just wants to see the spectacular and how many hours can this sideshow go on, and I think we kind of missed it. So maybe I'm just biased, I don't know, but I had a little trouble with this psalm this morning trying to sort through some of these things, and I do come back to the one thing always, we need to humble ourselves. That's the problem, is the pride of ourselves, and we get that through the Word of God. We don't get that through experiences, generally speaking. We don't humble ourselves. And if you're going to have revival, it's got to come from humility. It's not going to come from rah, 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 right? It's just not. And it doesn't have to be in a place. It doesn't have to be in a hall where it's happened before. Because God is not restricted to a place at all. And I think we have a nice little revival in here every Saturday morning. I mean, you're coming here to be built up or you wouldn't be here, right? And you're coming here to really even help build others up by your prayers, right? So I think this is the place to be. So I'm glad you didn't go to Asbury today. I'm glad you're here. I mean, it's okay if you want to go to Asbury. That's fine, but I'm glad you're here. Let me read this psalm, and then we'll begin with a song. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. What do you think about that? When you see the Selah, I'm just going to say, what do you think about that? You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. So I thought, well, we'll just start with this revival song because I can at least tie that into the scripture of this sixth verse, revive us again. So let's sing revive us again here, if we may.
Revive us again.
So if he gets the glory, I'm all for revival.
Amen.
If man gets the glory, I'm not for what that version of revival is, right? We notice in the first few verses here that it's giving the Lord credit, really kind of from what he has done. It's you have, you have, you have, you have, you have. I think six times, this is what God has done. Now, we're talking about Israel here, not necessarily dirt, the land. We're talking about the people, but we're also talking about the promised land in a way. And we see here, it starts out with, you have brought back the captivity of Jacob. So most people think that is the Babylonian captivity, because that had a direct, with Nehemiah and so forth, a direct group that came back, very small group actually, of all the people that went to Babylon. Most of them chose to stay there. They didn't even want to come back. But there were some that came back. And so I think it's referring to that. Some see more of a captivity like a Job in this, that not necessarily on a national basis. They said, well, it should be back to Judah and so forth, and not back to Israel. I don't know. I'll leave that up to whatever it says. But you have brought us back. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. What a statement that is. Now, we do know the New Covenant, as we read in Jeremiah 31, that he says, I will forget your iniquity. That's the New Covenant that we're under, right? Isn't that a blessing that he forgets our, I would call it, twistedness? Iniquity is the twistedness that we all have from Adam. We're all twisted a little bit, right? But he forgives that. What a beautiful thing that is. You've covered all their sin. What has covered your sin? The blood, right? So this was written long before that. This was written 1,000 years, probably. Maybe not. It depends on when it was written. We don't know. But hundreds of years anyway before Christ. So we can look back and see the fulfillment of so many things that they could only look forward to. You have taken away all your wrath. So he got mad at Israel. He got mad enough at them that he kicked them out of the country like he said he would. And they looked at it as his anger. I looked at it as really a cleansing, really. If that's the where the church is today, if the church today doesn't earnestly seek him, that part of the church will be history. It won't be part of the true church. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. So when they came back from Babylon, if this is that aspect, they came back because God had promised them 70 years of captivity, and after that he would bring them back. And so they have been brought back, so the fierceness of the 70 years of deportation was over. Now they're back. So what? Restore us, O God, of our salvation. And how in some ways we can see that fitting our country, can't we? Although I happen to think most of the things we look at, the history of this country wasn't as great as you think it was, any more than the church was so great a few years ago. We've had good times and bad times, and we currently are in a bad time of turning away from the Lord as this nation. But to restore us to the best part this United States has ever been is not what our prayer is, I don't think. Our prayer wants to be what God wants us to be as his people, and not necessarily a nation. I don't think he's going to restore this nation to the point of where the church should be, right? So I'll just say, restore us, church. Restore us. That's what I want to see in revival. I want to see the body of Christ coming to life. Yeah, people saved, that's good. That's all good. But just the body of Christ, that's the revival. The unsaved person isn't revived, but the unsaved person never has been alive, right? So revive us again. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and what caused your anger toward us to cease? And of course that will, if we're following him. Will you be angry with us forever? Obviously no. Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Those that are against you, yes. But those that are not, no. Will you not revive us again? Yes, if we turn to you, that your people may rejoice in you. Yes. Now that's the point. People rejoicing in whom? In him. It's all about him, isn't it? And anything we look at, we always got it twisted around a little bit. Oh, it's about me. It's about me. And that's what the flesh says, isn't it? The flesh says, it's all about me. And the Spirit says, none of it's about you. And so here we are in this balance between the flesh and the spirit, that your people may rejoice in you. Are you rejoicing in the Lord today? Do people see you and recognize that you're rejoicing in him? And before you answer that, sometimes pull a mirror out of your pocket and look at your face and see how much rejoicing you see. Show us your mercy, Lord, yes. Oh, how we need his mercy. Show us your mercy. And how has he shown us his mercy? Well, look at the cross. Look at the forgiveness. I will remember your iniquity no more. He's done that. He's done that. He's done that. He's done that. But yes, we want that to continue, to show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. And now we get about some things we will do. I will hear what God the Lord, interesting, Elohim Yahweh, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Will you? Am I? For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. They're talking about Israel there as idolatry and worshiping the blessings. And of course, that's where we are in big, big, big way, have gone to folly, right? Worshiping the creation rather than a creator. And we have doing all kinds of stupid things ourselves, trying to be God, right? Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Why? That glory may dwell in our land. And so we can only say God bless America when we turn to him. We can't say God bless America when we're turning to him and saying, get out of here, I don't want any part of you, right? That glory may dwell in our land. But that is our hope. That is our prayer, really. Now we have a couple of beautiful statements here. Mercy and truth have met together. Yes, they have. Who do they meet together in? Jesus. That doesn't fit this nation today at all. We don't have any mercy and truth coming together in this nation today, in my opinion, generally. Righteousness and peace, the same thing. We don't have righteousness and peace in this nation. How can you have peace when you have an open border? With fentanyl coming in by the truckloads, how can you have peace when you are killing all the babies and legislating that to be right? How can you have peace when you're mutilating all these kids with transgender kind of sex? You can't have peace with that. So we see that it's an unrighteousness and lack of peace is what we have in the nation today, don't we? Way too much. But righteousness and peace have kissed. They have in the past. God has done it all. He did it on the cross, right? Primarily. And he raised up the church, Pentecost, 50 days later. The church was born and the Spirit was poured out on all the believers. We praise God for that. Truth shall spring out of the earth. That is, if we are following him. Otherwise, it will not. You're not getting any truth springing out of the wickedness, are you? And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Absolutely. Yes, the Lord will give what is good. And our land will yield its increase. Because he will give us rain, right? Anybody doubting he's giving us rain? Righteousness will go before him. Righteousness will go before him. And what? Shall make his footsteps our pathway. What path are you on? What footsteps are you stepping into? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my ways, right? He will make his footsteps our pathway if we follow him. Father, we just thank you for the self-searchingness of your word. And as we look at these things, it's so easy to look and say, well, look at them over there. They're so far away from you, and they're doing such terrible things. And then when the scriptures come down to what about us hearing you and walking in your path and rejoicing in you and demonstrating your love to everybody around us, we kind of aren't so confident anymore that we're doing everything so perfectly, because we're not. But here we are this morning, Lord, and I thank you for being here and meeting us filling us with your spirit and being present in this room. You can really sense it when people get together who know you and love you. And so, Lord, we have some minutes now is to pray as the Spirit would lead us to pray. And so may we respond as we are led. Let's pray. I want to close today with two songs. I had trouble picking one. First one is about us. Upon the cross of Jesus, my eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me, and from my stricken heart with tears, two wonders I confess. The wonder of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I thought that was a good backdrop for where I am with regard to asking him to restore and revive. And then the last song will be Eyes on Him, which I think is the desire of all of us, the eyes on him. But let's come to the cross just a moment to recognize where he demonstrated. We started this psalm with you have, you have, you have, you have, you have, and here is what he has done to demonstrate his love for us and every single person ever. So let us just join this beneath the cross. The ninth verse, we read, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And that just reminds me of really all glory to him. And so this is a little higher note, but we want to look to him with a higher note, I think, than we look at ourselves in a way. So you deserve the glory. Let's sing this one along with Terry McElmon. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord. And even thinking about Joshua and Caleb as they came back with a good report and the other people were saying, oh, there are giants in the land. And they said, oh, with the Lord's help, what are giants in the land? And Lord, as we get our eyes on you, where are the giants in the land? They are nothing, just nothing. Lord, bread will eat them up. And so, Lord, eyes on you is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. More of my eyes on you, Lord, and our eyes on you. I just pray because that brings you glory, I know. And we want to honor you, Lord. So thank you for this precious group here that meets every Saturday. And may we keep our eyes on you. And Lord, our problems disappear when we have eyes on you. And when we have eyes on ourselves, it just seems like there's problems insurmountable. But Lord, they're nothing in your sight. Yes. You have promised us everything. Can't we believe that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. In Jesus' name. Amen.